Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show
podcast.
Happy Friday. And guess what, guys? This is like our first solo episode in a long time. There's no David. There's literally no guest.
No Angelica.
No one.
No Eloise.
No one. No Jupiter. Just you and me, honey.
Just you and me pressing buttons.
Wow, this feels so intimate and cute, honey, I have to say.
What do you like about it so much?
It kind of feels like our shower chat. You know, Dennis and I shower every day together. It's the best thing. Perks of being married. And we have like the deepest conversations. Honestly, I feel like we should have just done a podcast in the shower. No, but it feels like that because there's no holding back. It's really just you and I. And it's like more intimate and sweet.
How was your day?
My week. Month. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, let me tell you guys something really exciting that's happening. Dennis and I are officially going to Japan next week.
Yeah. So next week, normally we film these on Wednesdays. We're actually going to be flying on that Wednesday. So we are either going to have the next episode filmed and posted directly from Japan, which would be really great for the visuals. Or we're going to have to do it on Tuesday and then post it on Friday. I would actually want to hold out and see if we could do it in Japan.
Here's my point of view. I think we should do we should settle in that week. So I think we should film next week here.
Okay.
And have that last episode be. And then we'll go to Japan in the hotel or whatever. Go to
Japan, Nihongo.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So we have a lot to get done. I will admit, I had such a fantastic week with my sister here and Eloise. I spent all week just with them and family. And you guys know how it is, right? Where you just drop almost everything for people, like your family.
Yeah, you make time for people you don't normally see.
So I did that. And then I kind of had like a little panic on Tuesday when I came back to work. And I was like, I have so much to do. I don't even know how to do it. And then with Japan and, you know, I'm the kind of person that I need routine. And so I was all over the place.
Well, Natalie and I were discussing about whether this action paralysis was coming due to your ADHD or if it can be something that's deeper rooted. It's, you know, the human mind is pretty complicated. And for Natalie, if she doesn't wake up or early, which we've mentioned many, many times on the podcast, or if something that out of the norm happens, kind of like someone flying in or a vacation coming up, it always messes with everything for you.
It really does. I just like don't know how to function. It's a bad thing. You know, I'm very calculated, I would say. Like, I do the same thing every day at the same time. Almost sounds like I have a mental illness or something, but I really do. Like, if I'm going to go to the gym, I only have like two windows of buckets. I either like to go like at a certain time in the morning or at a certain time in the afternoon. Once I miss that bucket, I'm like, no, because I have other things to do. Like, I have to walk Jupiter or, you know, I want to do that, which I could go in so many different directions in this podcast, but I was just thinking about how I literally missed Jupiter's 8th birthday this week.
That's the second birthday straight that we've missed in terms of celebrating.
Oh my God. Somebody commented on my TikTok and they're like, justice for Jupiter's birthday. And I agree. I'm going to do something on Saturday. So here's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
Jupiter is really into croissants.
So, you're gonna have a croissant cake or something.
More than that, we're gonna give him a croissant bakery experience.
That's actually pretty cool. He deserves it.
So we'll do that. I think that'd be kind of fun this week.
Anyways, I've been posting a lot of running content on my Instagram stories. I've been consuming a lot of running content on TikTok and Instagram, and I got a very controversial video that I shared with Natalie earlier today. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw it on screen. I've stayed away from reacting to TikToks, but this was just too much to not react to. I thought it was great. And so in this video, there is a female athlete who is reaching the finish line and she's about to make it to the finish line. Oh, that's actually another part of the video.
Mm-hmm. She's about to make it.
I'm going to put it on screen.
Yeah.
She's about to make it. And so her husband or whatever is letting her children go to her. And she reaches the finish line.
Basically to go to her to celebrate her, I think.
Yes, but she ignores them.
Mm-hmm, as she should have.
And then, okay. And she makes it to the end. Mm-hmm. And so I showed it to Natalie. I was like, I don't want to give you any of my thoughts on this. I want us to react to this specifically on the podcast so that we can discuss, you know, what are your thoughts on the video?
Straight up. Okay. Running is not an easy sport or exercise. You're telling me that her husband did not see her wake up early, go through all this stuff to then have her kids get in her way and almost not make it to the finish line. Like, that wasn't her moment to be a mom. That was her moment to be celebrated as a champion, which I think then leads me to a bigger thing is like, I wonder if the roles in their relationship are kind of like her identity is a mom. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, her identity was she's a runner. She's about to get to the finish line. Yeah. She's worked so hard. The other guy is like only a few feet behind her.
Yeah.
Letting your kids go up to her to celebrate her in that moment, that was not the right moment for that. Now, I do question, did the kids maybe get out of line for him and he was like trying to grab them? Maybe that could have been what happened. Kids don't know. So they're like, oh my God, I see mom. Let's go hug her. Right.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem like he was trying to hold them back, but it also didn't seem like he purposely made them go forward. Like, that's kind of an idiotic move. I'm sorry. But I was very upset when I saw that.
Yeah. So this is 3 weeks now, back to back to back, where we discuss momhood and labels and roles, and you really hit the nail on the head in terms of, you know, that was a dumb move, I think, by the guy. I think in that moment, it's her, she is the main character of her life in that moment.
Her moment.
She's probably trained years maybe for that even. And to kind of overshadow that by making it like a family moment, It does seem idiotic, but it also, you earlier couldn't help but tell me more of your thoughts. I feel like you're holding back a little bit now.
I am holding back
about how you felt about it. And that's why I didn't want you to tell me anything.
I know, but I just couldn't help it. I mean, the moment you showed me that, I was like, what is he doing? Hold the kids. I was like, she's worked so hard for that. That's just not fair. And I think the part of me that boils a little bit is the part of me that wonders if that man was like, it's more like gender roles. And it's more like, oh, she's a mom. That's her identity. Honey, go hug the kids.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm running. Like, let me be. You know what I mean? That is not my identity. And I think why I feel so passionate about that is because so many of my girlfriends who get lost in motherhood, that occurs to them whenever their identity becomes their entire kids. It's been really beautiful to be able to witness both sides. I've had friends who love that.
Yeah.
And then I have friends who kind of don't recognize themselves. They say to me, I don't know what I like anymore because my kids are my everything. This is a little bit on a random note, but I woke up and I had a dream that Dennis and I had kids. And it was so cute. And it was adorable because the kid looked like you.
Yes.
And then it was very much like a family moment where all, like, first of all, my labor was awesome. Okay. My birth was incredible, honey. Like, it happened so fast that your mom called and she was like crying on the phone. Like, oh my God, I can't wait to meet.
Maybe it's all that Pilates you've been doing.
Whatever it was just such a positive experience. And then having everybody come to the house and they were so happy to see our kid. And oh, it was just so beautiful. And you know what was so cool too?
Tell me.
There was a moment where you and I were like smiling with our baby in the mirror. And I was like, oh my God, it looks so much like you. But then it has my like quirky laugh. For some reason, the baby was laughing. And then I had a moment where you took the baby.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny. In the dream itself, I was explaining our gender roles. And I was like, honey, I'm breastfeeding. Can you please change the baby's diaper? Well, and then you allowed me to go and get ready. And I felt so beautiful. And I was about to share my baby. And then I woke up. And it was sad. I was like, where's my baby?
You know, going along the lines of gender roles.
Yeah.
I got another TikTok where for some reason there was like a doctor testifying in court. And so the lawyer, the judge referred to him as honey. You used the word honey like a little while ago. You're like, honey. And so the lawyer, doctor guy corrected her and said, example, I'm not honey. I'm Dr. Dennis Garcia, for example, my name. And she's like, she got mad.
But they were related?
That he corrected her. No, they're in court. Mm-hmm. He is in a chair. She is a judge. And so she for some reason called him. She's like, honey, hold on. She told him that.
Gotcha.
And he corrected her with his proper title, mm-hmm. like his name. Do you feel in this instance of the video of the marathon runner, it was like you mentioned, like a husband putting a wife in her place as mom, kind of like assigning that. Now I brought up an instance where a female person of authority was also trying to put down a male person. There's been this kind of tension between genders recently.
I agree.
Where males are kind of mad at females at males or whatever. Where is this arising from?
It's always been around. That's the thing.
Mm.
Like, you can go back years. You can even see it in the Bible. Like, we've been reading.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll notice things where, you know, like, for example, in Genesis, women were more so treated almost like a possession of trade.
Yeah.
Where it's like, because it was so, what's the word, esteemed to procreate. And so they would do whatever to mm-hmm. the point where, like, the sisters, two sisters decided to sleep with the dad without the dad knowing, just to procreate.
You know? That's some funky stuff. Yeah.
So I think that's always been around. And I think in many ways, like, women are always trying to take it back or kind of be like, hey, this is my place. You know, this is how I would like to be treated. But it's such a complicated topic that I don't want to get into.
I saw some images of the Boston Marathon in the 1960s. And in it was the first female marathon competitor mm-hmm. at the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. And so as she was running, she actually had men pushing her.
Men pushing her?
Like, in the competition. Like, as she's passing runners, like, they'd push her. They didn't believe that she, like, belonged in the marathon. I feel like it took you a moment to, like, understand what I was trying to say. Anyways, there's very viral images of that. It was very recent. It was, like, I don't know, 50 years ago, but it was soon. I mean, it was pretty much a little while ago.
I hope those guys got some kind of penalty or something, because that's
no,
not
I don't
right.
think they did. I think it's just taken time for females to kind of take up the mantle of equality within the world. And I guess there's a lot of people that just don't feel comfortable with that, you know?
And I guess in a way, kind of, I know there's this really viral college speech that went around.
Oof.
I haven't seen it.
Ooh.
Haven't seen it, so I don't know. But yeah, it's a very icky place, gender roles. And I think what it is too is it's a lot of it's perspective and your own upbringing and how you feel about it. Because I have an aunt who is very angry towards men.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason she is she was one of the youngest out of 15 kids. And she saw her mom kind of get slandered a lot by her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously causes a lot of anger, you know? And so I don't know if there's, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to get into this.
Well, do you feel like a lot of that gender anger can be taken on from seeing things and from just observing stuff in the world? You kind of carry that baggage with you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like in her perspective, she felt that way towards men, but maybe if she had had a more loving father towards her mom, it would be different.
That's a totally valid point.
So yeah, complicated.
Anyways, you've been experiencing a lot of allergies. You've been experiencing a lot of pains.
I
would say you have.
Heck?
A lot of genetic issues. Ha, ha, ha. Anyways. See, the thing is, the question that I had here was like a genetic term. And I was like, how do I roll into that?
No, don't
so
say that.
I'm throwing you under the bus and all your genetic problems. I have really bad joints, honestly. Yeah, I have to say. I did want to talk about genetic wins. I feel like a lot of us are very lucky and very fortunate to overall, you know, lead very comfortable lives, not sick, you know, overall average. Yeah, like some people are allergic to pollen,
right? Like me.
Yeah, there's negatives to genetics, but then there's also positives to genetics, right? Like, oh wow, one example is a guy is not allergic to poison ivy. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That I mean, that is considered a genetic win. There was a woman inside the comments who was talking about how she did a genetic study and that they actually found that she has a 0% chance of passing on a defect into her child.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's right. So, her chances of having a child with any type of issue is pretty much non-existent.
So how do you test that stuff? Because I think that is a fear of mine when having kids. It's
Well, there. Oh, maybe we can go into the ethics of that, actually. Like, is it right to check? Like, people for the longest time just have children. No problem. Right?
Yeah. And I do think it's right to check because it's in your right to be able to do something about it.
Yeah.
To be able to hopefully, I don't know, eat differently or like there's got to be, you know, ways to help with whatever issue. Not all issues are.
I do believe that someone would be more inclined to check to see if their child could possibly have an issue if they themselves have a very serious issue, you know, because then you're like, oh, I have, I don't know, scoliosis. I have to check to see if my child will have it. What are the chances, right? But if two overall normal people have a child, I mean, the likelihood that something random will happen is pretty low regardless. But
I think I'm just paranoid. You know, like people used to say, how is it that these kids in high school, like just get pregnant, they have no problem. And then like you're married and this and that. And we have so many fertility issues. Like life is just so odd like that.
Well, someone also commented, and I had the actual very similar experience, that all their grandparents made it to at least 100. So, I mean, that is a genetic win to know that people in your family have made it that long.
That is huge.
I hear every day about people that pass away at 60, 70, 80. And it, like you hear that and you're like, oh, that's normal. They were pretty old, but old in my mind before and still kind of is over 100.
I agree. 70 is not cutting it for me.
No.
70 is young.
Yes. The thing about the 100 is my grandparents were over 100. And so I see that as like the baseline for old within them.
I get it.
And so if I see someone that's 70, I don't think old. And yet maybe I was just fortunate that my family also lasted that long.
I do think old here in the States, because a 70-year-old here versus a 70-year-old in Colombia looks very different.
My dad's 70 or 70 something.
Yeah, your dad is 70, but I still would argue that if your dad had lived in Colombia, he'd be healthier.
Oh yeah,
he would walk more than likely. He'd eat healthier. He would just have a richer social circle, which also yields to a longer life.
Yeah.
And they talk a lot about that in the blue zones and people that live over 100, that those few things, movement is super huge.
Yeah.
Having your own food, like actually growing your own garden of food, is very important. And also just having a nice, circle of friends. Yeah.
You know, inside of the fitness community, there's a saying called use it or lose it.
Ooh, yeah.
You use it or you lose it. Squatting, you use it or you lose it. As age starts to build on your body, either you continuously squat or you never squat again. And just happens.
Just today, we have this inside thing. Dennis is like, Natalie's having a good day when she's on the floor squatting. Like, I'm just working on my phone, literally squatting.
Okay? On the floor.
It's funny. should I show?
You look like a little goblin.
This is what it looks like if you're watching the visuals.
She's sitting on the floor like, and that's how she edits.
Oh, can I just say, I'm just going to stay like this. This is the best position for me. I love it. Like my back feels good. My hips feel good.
I know you guys can't really see, but she is squatting and her heels are touching the back of the chair. Like you are in a perfect squat.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Right.
So we were trying that out in the shower today.
So I was like, man, why can't I squat properly? And so, yeah, it tends to go into the use it or lose it. Right. So my dad at his current age still plays soccer with us. And so I think sometimes we also allow age to define what we can and can't do.
100%.
And so when you're older, you're like, I can't go up that ladder anymore. I'm kind of scared, or I can't do that. I can't do a pull up. I can't do this and that. My age isn't allowing me to. At some point, I think that it is a little bit of an excuse. And yes, you could injure yourself, But that's why it's important to carry those techniques over into your, you know, later years.
I agree. I mean, that goes along with like stretching and just you and I, we stretch every morning now. And I just think we're becoming healthier than what we were in our 20s. Our 20s, if you really think about it, were the defining years of trying to mold yourself into the benefits that you're going to feel in your 30s.
Yeah.
I would say I'd argue my beginning of my 20s were not the healthiest. I'd stay up super late. I'd eat bad. There was little to no movement in my life.
Yeah.
And stress. Stress was high. In my 30s, I really, really am working on slowing down. I really am.
How have your... Okay. One of the genetic wins was, she put, as a female, my period is only 2.5 to 3 days.
Are you kidding me, girl?
Every time and is completely regular.
Wow. That is a huge genetic win.
Really?
If there's one thing I struggle with the most in my life is my period.
Mm.
It's the worst time.
Can we, let's say, like, think of yourself.
Yeah.
And stack up like your genetic, not, I don't want to say failures, but like your issues. You would say period is one of your biggest problems or concerns?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because every month, first of all, during the luteal phase, I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. My hormones need to be regulated. That's one. And then two, I'm in a lot of pain during my period, like physical pain. Honestly, I think about this a lot.
How long does your period last?
My period lasts 6 days.
That's a long ass
But time. I don't bleed a lot after day three. But that's still a lot of blood.
That is.
You know? And I think a lot about how I'm lucky I work from home and I'm able to take it easier. But I cannot imagine, one, being an athlete and having to be on your period. Sometimes we'll look at the girls that are like in the Olympics and we're like, they've got to be doing something to not be like...
Like hormonal stuff, yeah, like to not be on the period.
Being on your period is so rough. It's not rough for everybody, but it's rough for a lot of girls.
I do wonder if there's been any Olympian that's competed pregnant. Like, obviously not pregnant, but maybe within the first 3 months of pregnancy.
Oh, shoot, I never thought about that.
I doubt someone would stop and not compete simply because they're pregnant. I feel like they would make the attempt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'll never forget. There's this very viral clip of a girl who is on a swim team. I think she's an Olympian.
Really?
And I think she wins. But basically the reporter's like, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? And she is crunched over crying. And she's like, I'm on my period.
I remember that. I saw that. Yeah.
And so that's just so rough. And she's like, I feel so weak. You know?
I know. Maybe like 20 episodes back, we talked about like the possibility of someone staying home during their period. Is that something that you still believe should be a thing? Or what about now? Has your opinion changed?
No, I do think it should be a thing.
You still believe it's a thing?
It sounds very like privileged, but like periods are rough and sometimes they make you really immobile. At least for me, I have really hard periods.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Europe does that. There's period leave.
I think maybe it depends on the job.
No, obviously. Yeah. I mean, nowadays a lot has changed. So that's kind of nice. But I mean, okay, fine. You're trying to tell me what are your genetic
losses, failures.
I would have answered this question differently, actually really differently. When I was younger, all I wanted was boobs.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted boobs. So that led me into getting breast implants, right? But I would actually say it's a genetic win now for me because I notice a lot of my friends with bigger breasts really struggle to, one, dress themselves, specifically after pregnancy. It just becomes really tough. And, you know, I feel like my small boobs yield also for a lot of sports. It makes it easier for me, such as like rock climbing. You know, whenever you're doing slab and you're really up close to the wall,
yeah.
Like imagine having these big boobies that are just, it's harder.
You know, I've had to kind of scale back on the weightlifting a little bit because of the running. There's obviously no point in having a really large chest and being able to bench a lot if you're just a runner, right? And so I do wonder if a lot of female athletes go through breast reductions in order to compete better, or if maybe doing a lot of benching naturally causes women's chests to kind of be wider and their breasts to be less, you know, large.
When I started doing rock climbing, I did notice my breasts got tighter
Ooh.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So it could lead to a change in the way that it looks or feels.
It's not a drastic change. You probably wouldn't be able to tell, but like I could tell, you know?
Mm.
So, okay, but that would be now my genetic win, I would say, actually having some smaller breasts.
That's a good change of perspective.
It is a good change of perspective. I would also say a genetic win for me, honestly, is my height.
Mm.
I think that... and it's a personal thing, but if I were too tall, I think I would come across different issues.
Yeah.
And if I was too short, I would also come across other issues that I both know women that come across. So like, for example, too tall, oftentimes they're like, oh, I can't wear heels. I mean, yeah, you can, but they just feel more uncomfortable. Or like finding a partner that's taller than you, because it just tends to be a thing that some women value.
Mm-hmm.
When you're too short, oftentimes you feel literally like you're looked down on.
Literally.
like you are younger than you look. And so yeah. Therefore, sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed, short girls are rough. They speak loud. And I think it's something that they've learned because they've had to like kind of like, hey, I'm here. You know?
Yeah.
Like my teacher that I go and I do this high intensity class, she is tiny, tiny. And that voice is like just intense. And the same thing goes for another teacher I had at F45. She's small. They're well under 4.
Yeah.
4'11".
How many tall people do you know that are soft spoken?
A lot, actually.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Huh. That might be a thing. Actually, a lot. A lot of soft-spoken
people. A lot of soft-spoken tall people.
And you know what else I notice with tall people? They are usually hunched over. It's almost like they don't want to be like, hey, I'm here.
The presence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Hmm.
Well, what about you? What would you say some genetic wins for you would be?
For me, I would say my legs.
Yeah.
Naturally strong calves.
Very strong
and just thick legs.
Yep.
Which, you know, has kind of like similar to your breasts, have been a fail and a win. Because when I was younger, people would like make fun of my calves, like, why are your calves so large? Why look so weird? And then now it's like, you know, I could be doing cycling or running. In terms of running, though, I don't know, because most runners have thin legs. I think cyclists have thick, like tree trunk legs. And I feel like I fit the mold actually of a cyclist a bit more than a runner. But overall, I mean, you give and you take. It's how you just, your perspective on things.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, hey, I can do legs at the gym if I want to. And if I don't want to, I still got thick legs. So it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas someone with really thin legs has to work out their legs even more because they are lacking in like the lower half of their body. Right. It's difficult for them.
No, 100%. Yeah.
And then genetic failures for me. I mean, my eyesight, I mean, your eyesight's worse than mine though.
But dang, honey, you're never this mean to me. Like, I feel like the podcast brings something
No.
Which is why people think you're
genetic,
mean.
So genetic failures, I had to wear braces for a long time. I think like dental issues.
How long did you wear braces?
The thing is, I sucked my thumb a lot when I was little. And so it ended up turning out my teeth. And so I didn't wear braces for like 6 years. I'm trying to think of my joints in general have never been that good. I've always had joint problems on my knees and my ankles are all bad from soccer. Overall, you know, body wise, also I'm rather large, chunky. I would say I'm a stocky build. And so I think that is also difficult in terms of a lot of things. I don't know. Being in a car, I can't be in the backseat.
Wait, guys.
Because I would be too wide.
So the other day, Dennis and I, we do our morning dates. And so we go to like a new breakfast place and tell me how we get seated in this tiny little booth. And he just looks so funny in it. I very kindly asked the woman, I'm like, don't you think he looks a little uncomfortable there? He's like a big boy. And she's like, oh my God, you're right. Let's switch him
over. Come
over
here, big boy. And then she pointed us to like another table.
But the way you like got out, you just look so massive in that tiny
chair.
I would say you have a very nice frame. Like in general, I know you always
say. It's a stocky build.
When you say stocky, I guess, yeah, you could say stocky. Like you got some. All over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it's what's really cool is I think that a lot of guys in our circle really look up to you and
I'm
your
so
body
funny.
Type.
Yeah.
They're always like, dude, what are you eating? And like, they're also attentive to what your protein intake is or just like what meals you're cooking.
So we had a friend recently who was asking us about what our lifestyle is like because we never, like our weight doesn't fluctuate too hard. like we could gain weight, but it's not like we like inflate.
It has in the past.
But as of late, we've been in control. And so it is nice when people come to you and they're like, oh, how are you managing that? What are you doing?
They see it.
How do you take control of it?
Yeah.
And then, you know, with that information that we give, either you accept it or you deny it and you take it and do something with it. But yeah, I mean, it's nice.
What I have to say about that is like a lot of people come up to you and ask you that. So I think it's really cool.
At the gym, people come up to me too. And they're like, yeah. But then at the same time, I'm like, you know, I've been doing the gym for 4 years. Like it's work that goes with it. Exactly. You mentioned a girl on TikTok who put like the work to get to something and then like the result.
Yeah. So let me explain. So basically, it was an assumption above her head. So this girl was showing, the assumption would say, oh, she probably has really great genes. Look at her butt. So then on the right side, it was like her flaunting her butt. And then on the left side, it was her working for it, right? Or the top, it would say, oh, she probably knows a lot of people. That's why she's so successful. So then on the side, it would be her really struggling at night. And like, and then on the right, it would be her being like applauded by a bunch of people. So basically, the message there is you never see the other side. No one has seen the mornings you wake up early to go work out, the nights that you don't eat the food that everybody else is eating and you choose to eat your own meals. Nobody sees all of the recovery stuff that you do to yourself. The
airbag, massages,
massage guns, all the stuff that takes effort. And not to mention, like, you've had several knee surgeries and setbacks.
Yeah.
I think people also don't see that. That is what I'm the most proud of. I am not that meticulous with my health. If I feel a pain, I'm not somebody like you that's willing to do something about it. Whereas you do. You
know, I've done so many hours of therapy and like all sorts of stuff.
You buy the scapula. You're very invested. So I think that's very admirable.
I saw a TikTok of these Australian guys. They're two comedians. They're roommates. And so one guy's like, you know, today I just finished a half marathon. And the other one's like, when the hell did you train for that? And the other guy's like, I just found the time. And he's like, I've never seen you run before. And then they're talking about how the guy that's running does it kind of on his own time. Mm-hmm. You know, people dedicate the time to their activities and hobbies and find ways to do things. And every time I go on a run, I'm not going to story it and be like, I'm running, I'm doing this. I don't need the world to know that I'm going through something.
I have to say, we have so much more time than we think we do. And that's why I've been very upset with myself recently, because the discipline hasn't been there. You know, I'm waking up later. Therefore, that causes me to delay work, which then causes me to eat worse, which then it's like all these habits trickle.
I think that also leads into overall life skills, right? Really? There's a lot of life skills that people no longer seem to have.
Time management is a huge life skill.
Time management is a massive skill that a lot of people seem to lack nowadays. People are always late to meetings, late to things, overall just forget. Yeah, you, Angelica, had recently been making like a little saying that you are a very good organizer,
a planner,
time manager. So that's a life skill that you've managed to keep.
I've had to, and I thank my first grade teacher for giving me a planner and having me go home and have my parents check it off. Or else I swear I would be a mess, because I can't retain a lot of my to-dos. I really can't. I have to write everything out. And so I learned a system for myself. And actually, that's where like the Best Me Journal came about and why I've been able to just like set good intentions in the month and get stuff done, you know?
Well, there are some life skills here in the comments that people were mentioning that people just don't have anymore. And one of them is just overall email etiquette.
What would be that interesting?
So an example would be like, how do you email people? Hi, I'm Natalie, blah, blah, blah. You state what you need to say, end it, best, or thank you or whatever, and sign off. Boom. Apparently teachers are getting paragraphs from students, like long-winded emails with no punctuation, not like the proper way of doing things.
Complaining or
overall excuses? Just email etiquette. It's like,
yeah, I get it.
An email to me is like a longer text. I would see it like a text message where it has a header and a footer, And like you get to the point, you have bullets, you talk about maybe like this, that, firstly, this needs to go, second, third, whatever. And then that's it,
that's,
right?
That's the part though, getting to the point.
It's the structure of the email and just knowing how to send an email mm-hmm. seems to be a lost art for a lot of people.
That is very interesting.
I don't know if I should say this. So you put on an Instagram story about looking for a graphic designer. Or a Adobe Illustrator. And the amount of unprofessional emails that we've received is ridiculous.
Like what? What? Tell me.
To the point, I've deleted many of them.
But explain to me, like, for example, because I was very clear. I was like, here's what I need from you, right? I need you to write in the email header, project O.H.
Yes. Capital. So we got a lot that didn't do that.
See, immediate. Like that's how you wash people out. Yeah. Which is like, that's not going to work. You can't even follow that.
There was a girl who did one and then it said your name here. So she didn't take the time to put her own name. She like looked for the template.
Oh.
and then she sent it again with her name. And then she sent it again, changed. And then at the end put, sorry, my professor had to help me with this. I'm not the best at emails. And then she sends it again saying, I hope you received my previous email without replying to her previous email. She just sent in a completely different email thread.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And so the same person sent four emails.
Yeah.
None of them titled OH whatever.
Wow.
And it was just bad. Yeah. Then we received some very good emails.
Did we?
Of graphic designers and people very professional.
Great. And we're going to hold on to those for future projects.
Yes. But awesome. To just compare.
Yes.
Emails from ones to the others.
Yep.
A lot of it is age and a lot of it is experience. But I do got to say a lot of it also has to do with where they live and the country that they're in and how common emails might be a part of business procedure.
Yeah. I do remember that we mentioned how like he had never really sent an email.
Yeah.
He originally is from like Colombia. So he's been here for the past 2 years. Maybe you're right. Maybe
so I do think to myself in Colombia, like
what's up?
How do they go about business?
They do a lot of WhatsApp. Think about it.
So David had this really big issue with Twitch. And man, he showed me that email that he sent to Twitch. He wrote everything in the subject.
No freaking way.
The entire email thread was written in the subject and he put thank you in the body.
Immediately. If I was a Twitch person, that would never get resolved. Oh my gosh.
I've never said it, but I just said it.
That is funny.
I thought to myself, this will never get responded to ever. It was a paragraph in the subject. Awful.
I know. No. Okay. Yeah.
I need to breathe.
All right. Well, that's one. Here's another one that I think people are not taught. How to write a check.
Yes.
I swear to you, I was one of those people. I think I was 18 years old when I had to write my first check. And I was like, how do you do this?
But the instructions are there. Why would it be so difficult?
Somebody has got to teach you. Or how to do an invoice.
Invoices are really hard.
They're not that hard. There's a template as well. But yeah. It's like just somebody guiding you, you know, through that.
I remember like when I took on the role of like our manager, per se. And then the company was like, you know, send us over a W-9 and an invoice. I was like, I've never invoiced anyone for anything because we always do our own jobs. We don't technically ever like get hired out to do something. But then I thought about it. I'm like, every sponsor we've ever done is technically job for some like work we do or perform for someone else. And so, yeah, I had to go take the time, find a template, fix it up, change it, make it more like your personality. And now our template's really nice for invoices or whatever. And it's just plug and play. You just put in the person's name or whatever and that's it.
Plug and play.
But it's just knowing that, hey, like, an invoice is a necessary thing, totally. And then checks. Paper checks aren't a thing anymore that much, but it is a very good talent to have to understand how to write a check.
Yes. And I want to continue with this life skill that many people don't have because I notice verbally, communication is something that a lot of us lack because so many of us are used to
autocorrect.
No, just like writing on your phone and not really utilizing these words.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been noticing more YouTube videos for me being pushed how to improve your communication, how to seem more intelligent, blah, blah, blah.
Eloquent.
Exactly. How to be more eloquent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something I strongly lack.
Yeah. I think vernacular is definitely something that people are lacking nowadays. And just eloquency in terms of speaking. But it, like, even vernacular, like, one would even use the word vernacular.
But I would also say just manners. Manners are
all sorts of stuff in terms of communication. I think communication, we can even just say communication is a big issue, because lots of times also people aren't open to communication. And that can be a big life skill issue that someone has. Like, I'm very pro this or I'm against this. And then we have a conversation and you can't even tell me why. Like,
but you know what I struggle with? Like, being a social media content creator, right?
Yeah.
You speak differently to that audience.
Very different.
Versus how you're going to be speaking to a manufacturer who's helping you with a product, or a business associate who's trying to partner with you.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, even to certain words, like, hey, girly, you know, like things like that. I struggle with that switch. Now, some people might call me like, like, for example, I was on Lucy Fink's podcast and she was like, are you the same person online as you are in your videos? And I said, not really. And she said, oh, I think that's so interesting. Like, tell me more. Basically, we ended up leaving the conversation and she was like, I don't want you to feel alienated by this, but I am the same person online as I am in person. I speak the same. I do the same things. Mm-hmm. And I just can't quite, not that I don't believe her, but I just can't quite ever get there. I think that I'm going to speak differently to a teenager versus if I go to my gym and I'm speaking to whoever's there. Like, I do change. Maybe I'm like a chameleon a little bit. And maybe that is a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just, there's a word for it. It's just you, adapting your tone to your changes based on who you, like, let's say you're talking to a stranger versus a subscriber. I do think, like, you would talk differently to in person, though. We're talking about in person. I do think you would talk to a subscriber very differently than an actual person that doesn't know you.
100%.
Because first, A, they know a bit more about you. And I feel like there can be like this connection that you feel.
Yeah.
And so you might be warmer to them as opposed to a stranger, right? Strangers are like, oh, stranger. Like, that's different. Mm-hmm. I used to live in the ghetto. And so our principal had us all sit in the auditorium one time because there had been a lot of fights and a lot of issues in the school and she had to address it.
I can't get past and so, the part that you're like, I used to live in the ghetto.
The ghetto. Anyways, so she said that, you know, decorum is important in knowing the setting that you're in and how to deal and act depending on the situation.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so she was saying, she mentioned Snoop Dogg. Back then he was Snoop Doggy Dog. Now he's a Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion. He's changed it multiple times, but it's Snoop Dogg. So she said, imagine Snoop Dogg is going to order a 18 karat gold chain at a jewelry store. He's not going to walk up into the jewelry store and like, yo, what up? I'm Snoop Doggy Dog. How's it going? Like, and start rapping or be like, you know, extra, like his personality is.
Oh, interesting.
He's going to send an email. She first of all said, or call, say, hey, how are you? How's your day? I'm looking to buy this chain. What do you have in stock? So his tone changes based also on who you're talking to.
So that's how I've always felt, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I do think some people think that if an influencer is different in real life versus online, they will call that out to be fake.
We're going to Japan. We're going to have to adapt to how Japan is in terms of, you know, no shaking hands, maybe bow. We don't know that yet. We're going to learn, right? But you adapt, right? I'm not going to talk to a 5-year-old different than an older person.
It's
just you. It's also being tone deaf, not changing. I think you do have to adapt.
I do think it's an interesting perspective, and I think some people argue that it's not necessary. So, like some parents will say, you know, you want your kid to speak like an adult, speak to them like an adult. Don't baby talk them. I'm going to baby talk my kid.
I think that I'm going to talk to them more normal than you will.
See?
But am going to have a softer way of being. It's not, I'm not just going to stare at them and like be cold all the time. Regardless of how serious of a person you are, I do feel like your front kind of melts and you have to allow warmness. Yeah.
I don't think this ever happened to you because I feel like your parents wouldn't do this to you. But I used to be baby talked to.
Okay.
By my parents.
Yeah.
And I remember the day my dad was like, you got to stop baby talking. He literally told me. He was like, all this whining and all this thing, like, you got to stop doing that.
It's good.
And it made me feel so sad. And I'm pretty sure after that, he no longer like, he still like, is like, oh, I'm a niña, you know, he'll do things like that. But I guess I used to talk to my dad like that. And so he was like, we're going to cut it here. And that was a sad moment for me. It was almost like Santa Claus.
Can we talk about another life skill that's pretty important?
Yeah.
Holding yourself accountable to the commitments you make to other people.
That is everything. Let me tell you this. I value that. I put that on such a high pedestal. And I will say that one quote that Maya Angelou says, I think that's Maya Angelou.
Who the hell is Maya Angelou?
Seriously?
I don't know who Maya Angelou
is. She's like a writer and just incredible. Anyways, maybe she didn't say this, but it's like when people show you who they are, believe them. When mm-hmm. people show you who they are the first time, believe them.
That's a nice quote.
Meaning that if somebody, I don't know, is late to something that was super important, the chances are they're going to be late again.
More than likely.
And they'll always find an excuse. And those are the people I'm like, let's cut that out. Damn. I cannot deal with that. I despise that.
For you, does commitment mostly mean like showing up to a place or like, is commitment also like a promise? Commitment like when I promise, I commit to something, it's like doing it.
Yeah, commitment means anything. Do you know how... This really makes me maybe, damn, I'm about to get my period, but I'm feeling it. Okay. If you commit to going to a party, a party that somebody invited you to, put in effort, do not be texting me the day of, I'm sorry, I can't make it because of so-and-so. Don't even text me the night before. Girl, you RSVP'd, you better be there. And guess what? Off the list for next time. I'm not inviting you. I can't stand that. Yes, sometimes there's emergencies and stuff like that. But most of the time, it's like especially the day of. You know how busy the host is the day of for you to be like, I'm sorry, I can't make it because of blah, blah, blah. Girl, I don't care. I'm busy. It really, really irks me. It irks me so much. I think there's etiquette as well with being invited to something.
Yeah.
With responding, I can or I can't make it, RSVPing. And then there's also etiquette with if you confirm you're going to be there, you better be there.
I try really hard to not commit to anything because I just don't like doing anything. and so, yeah, if you know you're that type of person that, let's say, commits to something and then is doubting it as the thing is approaching, then you should have never committed to it in the first place. You have to really understand who you are. And just know, like, I say no to almost everything just because I know that if I commit, I'm not going to flake though. That's not how it is. What I'm saying is I try not to because I just, it's easier for me. I don't know. Thoughts, questions, concerns.
I don't think that's a good approach either because you miss out on a lot of great things in life. And I also think people also get tired of inviting people who don't come. Like, I know. I'm like 3 years out as well. Like, if I'm constantly inviting you and you're like, it's like, okay, then you don't like this type of stuff. Understandable. I'm not going to take the effort to count you in.
When we go to Disney, who holds a map?
You.
What would have happened or what would happen if you held the map and we followed you?
I think we'd have a great time.
You genuinely believe that?
I think you have a better way of being like, this feels more smart. Let's go through here and let's go through here. Whereas for me, it's more of a feeling. Oh my God, those are nice flowers. Let's go over there. And
that's how you get lost.
Check that out. Truly. I know that's not my forte.
Yeah. So
sense of direction, life skill, girl.
Sense of direction is being lost.
for sure.
So people are saying that a lot of us are depending on GPSs.
Oh, 100%.
To take us everywhere.
I don't know where I am. I don't know the street name.
What's going on with that? Can you explain to me why you get lost so often?
I don't know the street name, but I know the tree that's there. And if you take that tree away, I'm lost.
My dad would always be like, I count lights on the way, like on the third light to the right, on the third light to the left.
No, but you find systems. I mean, I do think sense of direction is a skill, but I almost feel like it's something that's just in you, girl. Like, for me, it's not in me. It's not.
A lot of people in the comments contributed it to video games and saying that in video games, there's a lot of backtracking. Let's say you go into a tunnel and then you have to like get to somewhere. You get the treasure and like The Legend of Zelda or whatever. And then you have to go back. You have to remember, oh, I made it right here. So that's a left. And then you have to find your way out of the tunnel to make it out again. Right. And in video games, it's anyone who's played a video game knows it's repetitive. Like you do that action over and over. Lots of times you need to find something, you pull out your map. In a video game, you pull out the map. And it's a constant thing, especially in games like Metroid and Doom. You can get lost in the map. And so your brain has to genuinely create a world where you can go through it. And so I do feel like a lot, and there's not a lot of video game girls out there, girl gamers. But I can't find an equivalent to that much practice in terms of getting lost and finding your way out for like you. How can we, maybe you practice that, or what's a skill that you can, other than gaming?
I think that's a really good point. And I also remember one time in Colombia malls are huge, especially in Medellin. They're like 4 or 5 stories. They're massive.
Yeah.
I remember I was like, dang, handsome, how do you remember where the car is? And you're like, okay, we're going to do something. Basically, start being attentive from this moment. We're going to take a right. We're going to take a left. We're going to do this. And now we're just going to work it backwards.
Yeah.
I was lost in the second right. But I do think you make a very valid point. It could be video games for guys. Because guys, I do believe, have a better sense of direction. At least the ones I've met, more than girls.
I feel like a lot of the topics today, and I'm saying, I was like kind of generals, boring for our audience, but I play a lot of it's a game called Call of Duty. And so like every couple months they release a new map, and by map, I mean like a location, a place where you're playing. And so it takes a moment to like adapt to a new setting. Right. And so I'll play that same map maybe 3-4 times, but by maybe like the 4th or 5th time, like I got it down pat. Like I know where the windows are, where the lines of sight are, everything, right? And so it's also like, how quick are you to adapting to a new place? Like when we go to a new location or traveling, and then maybe we leave the hotel, and I said, "Hey, Natalie, can you tell me what the hotel room looks like?" Like, do you think that would be a skill that you'd be able to do?
Have you seen the TikTok where the girl's like, "Oh, whenever my boyfriend's around," like,
yeah.
Genuinely, I feel like that with you because I know you've got it in the bag.
That's not good,
that's
though.
A problem. No, 100%. The first time I had to travel without you, it was nerve-wracking. Why do you think your mom also feels so scared whenever she has to travel to Colombia by herself? She's like, I have to use my brain. I feel I put that on you. I know we're going to have a great time in Japan because it's on you.
Do you feel like that's fair?
It's not. And I know you feel that pressure because specifically when we moved to LA, that was all on you.
Yeah.
And then moving back, you were like, how are we going to do this? I was like, I don't know. and like you were the one packing and all of that stuff. It is something that it's a passenger princess type of thing. I do believe it. It's that treatment of, I got you covered, girl.
Is that something that you see yourself tackling at some point, or you don't mind it and you're just going to let it kind of go?
I do think I might struggle when I have kids because it's like, let's say, I don't know, I want to take them out for like a walk. I mean, I know where I live around here, but let's say I actually want to go and put in that effort. I think that does take a little bit more skill. To be like, how am I going to pack this and the stroller and make sure that I can take them out at this time and all of that stuff. I'm sure it's something you can learn. Any skill, I do believe, is something you learn. You can learn.
It's just repetition.
It is.
Doing it over and over and over.
Yeah, and it's having that desire.
All right. Basic cooking skills. That's a big life skill that a lot of people lack. especially nowadays. So they went, it went like this. Basic cooking skills. It seems like a lot of people now rely on takeout and pre-made meals.
You know what it is? We were talking about it today in the shower. We are in a culture that's fast. We're in a culture that feels they have to be doing stuff at all times, right?
Yeah.
And so I was listening to a sermon about how Jesus was never in a hurry and how he always just took his time. At the age of 30, that's when he started doing miracles. And so I think that that urgency makes us also not be like, oh my God, you know what? It might be a good thing to take the whole ass afternoon to just cook a nice meal for my family.
Hell nah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I even told you in the shower, I was like, when was the last time I actually sat down to do an art project? I don't do that anymore because I don't feel like it. What's the word? It's productive.
The value.
I see value because it's relaxing. It's a way to disconnect. You see all that? That's over there that I have to clean up. That was me trying to start that art project.
It's a big mess behind the camera.
It is a big mess. And then I was like, eh, I'd rather do something more productive with my time. But I think as human beings, we need to slow down. And it should be a part of our daily life ritual. It's something I'm trying to work at still too.
Have you ever done a superset at the gym?
What is that?
A superset is when you work out, do a workout, and then in between your rest, you do another workout. That's called it. That's a superset at the gym.
That's the thing. Yeah. No.
So basically, I'm doing dumbbell curls. And then instead of resting in between my dumbbell curls, I start doing squats.
Okay.
Right. So the whole purpose of that is basically to keep your heart rate up. And yeah. So you're technically doing harder work and whatever. I've never been a big fan of supersets because I feel like overall, your entire workout's going to lack something.
Totally agree with you. And it actually reminds me of when I used to like study. And at the same time, I was like trying to cook and like I was trying to procrastinate with two different things at the same time, like be productive here and also be productive here. And personally, that makes me feel overstimulated and it stresses me out. So I've been doing something that most people would be like, why? Like, why do that? I used to go out on walks and listen to a podcast because I was like, oh, I'm retaining information, blah, blah, blah. Now I just go out and I just walk and I take a moment to unplug. I think unplugging is difficult too because you don't feel like you're being productive. You're not taking anything in. But if we ask ourselves, when was the last time you were just like in silence? When was the last time you weren't just being fed information, whether it's from music or from a podcast or from a YouTube video? It doesn't allow you time to think.
So I've obviously been running. I've said it many, many, many times. And I always run with music. And the way that I've been training recently is more heart rate based. And there was one run in particular that I found it difficult to lower my heart rate. Yeah. I just couldn't, no matter how slow I jogged.
You mentioned that.
I just couldn't. And so finally, what I ended up doing was I turned off the music. And I was more in tune with the steps of the running. And I ended up lowering the heart rate. Mm-hmm. I don't know if music itself can raise your heart rate just by listening to it by like 2 to 3 beats, which would put you off from what you're trying to get to. But I do believe if it's really hard, like dubstep or like techno, and it's going like that, you just listening to fast music makes your heart rate go up, right?
I agree.
And so in essence, just listening to music on the run was making it difficult for me to lower it.
Right.
But at the same time, I wasn't in tune with myself.
That's the thing.
And what was going on with my speed. I also find myself starting to pick up the pace when the music plays. And then my watch is like, you're running too fast. You're running too fast. And I'm like, oh, it was a song. I was doing too fast. I'm running to the pace of the song. So yeah, I find myself messing up more and not being in tune when I am listening to music.
So that's one thing I had to be very intentional about. The way I still do this, but not to that extent. So hear me out. Like every day I plan my day by the hour. But I leave in now flexibility. So if you look at it, you're like, looks like not too jam-packed. But that's the point. Like I need time to like breathe, to do this, to create, to think. right? I don't think we give ourselves a lot of time to think. Whereas before it was like, at this minute, I'm going to be doing this. Then I'm going to be doing this. And the problem is, in terms of productivity, I was always trying to double things like that. Listening to a podcast to learn this while I go on a walk and get my steps in. I don't think we need to, like, honestly, just try both and then tell me which feels better.
When you're cooking, you tend to boil things and then the water boils over. It's happened a couple of times now.
Every time. I forget.
Why?
I go do something else.
Yeah. There you go. That's what I was thinking about that right now, is like, that only happens
when I boil.
When you boil, because you don't have the patience.
I don't.
To stand there and watch it boil.
Exactly. That is a problem. I struggle with that for sure.
That used to happen to me a lot more often.
With what?
Boiling stuff.
Really?
The point is, I would be cooking and then I would be listening to a TikTok or whatever. I'd just be swiping on the side. But then whenever it came down to boiling things, it needed more focus.
Yeah, it needed more love. It needed more.
Or you set a timer or something, but like, you can't just let it boil.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, in terms of cooking, it's a lost art.
So wait, because I actually think this is deeper than that.
Yeah.
Like, what in your life right now do you feel you could slow down in?
Slow down in?
Yeah, like that. Not let it boil over. What is something that you need to work on?
I feel like I've made a lot of very positive changes recently, though.
Me too.
And I...
So name them, then.
No, I'm trying to think about something that needs to be slower.
So I'll tell you what I think has worked for
us. Maybe time with my parents needs to be slower. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be doing other things when I'm with my parents. I just need to be with them.
Mm-hmm. I think they would appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I remember on Tuesdays, it was our errands day, and it was so jam packed, you guys. It was literally like this. Ready? It would start where we'd wake up, have to have breakfast in 30 minutes, shower, all the stuff, right? Then we'd go, we'd get groceries. We then would get
at the two mail. Different places.
Then we would, yeah, two different places. We get the mail. We would add gas to the car. Basically,
go to the bank, usually.
Everything.
Yeah.
And what would happen? We'd come back home and then we'd go to the gym and then we'd work and blah, 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 blah. And I swear to you, I was on all day. I would even sleep just anxious and almost tired.
Mm.
Tired. Actually tired. I don't want to live my life like that anymore. I'm happy to acknowledge that that's where I was and that I don't want to do that anymore.
I think it's important to not overcommit, which funny enough was the other life skill that we talked about already. And it's also being realistic about how much can you handle.
But you know why? That's why right now I'm scared.
Uh-huh.
Because right now, for those of you who are this far in, I'm going to let you know on a little secret. I'm writing a book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is a new project. Aside from that, I'm also wanting to post on YouTube at least twice a week. That hasn't happened in the past 2 weeks, okay? I post on TikTok about 3 times a day. Then I'm repurposing on Instagram. You handle all the other stuff. And then we're also working on product for Offline Humans. We're launching a whole new business. So I just feel like there's something off. And I hate taking a back burner.
It's about reducing.
But that's the
problem. We've talked about it before here too.
But I don't know how. What do I do? Because realistically, I've committed to the book. I can't back out of that. And I want to do that.
And you did a fabulous job that week that you worked on it. But you also... The thing is, it's not about the overcommitting either, because I do feel like you have balance and what you are doing is doable. I just think that when you finish a task, it's about moving past that task. I know this is cheesy and it's religious or whatever, but you know how people say when you sleep with someone, your soul kind of stays attached to that person?
Yeah.
I feel like for you, when you do a task, your soul stays attached to it. And it's hard for you to bring the rest of you into the next project. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so let's say the book week ended.
It did.
You're not supposed to be doing anything for the book right now, technically, right?
I mean, he said keep writing, but I was I'm going to wait until you get what I need. He's going to give me this outline map.
So why are you even thinking about writing?
Because I'm thinking about next week, Japan. And I'm how the heck am I going to write in Japan and then do this? I'm already thinking about that.
You shouldn't really think that far ahead. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yes, there are a lot of projects and stuff, but at the same time, it's not all happening simultaneously in the moment. Like in the, like right now we're doing podcasts. Well, I'm not thinking of stickers and all this other stuff, right?
That reminds me. I'm looking over there because there was a little book that helped me so much. In sixth grade, I was so depressed. So depressed. My parents got me a psychologist.
Yeah.
The psychologist printed out this book for me. And it was so beautiful because there was one quote in there that was like, just remember that not everything happens at the same time. So everything that you're thinking about will happen, but not at the same time.
I've told you this many times.
That made me feel a lot of relief. But I think I have to constantly remind myself, like, okay, the book, the writing, it's going to happen at its own time. You know, my resting is going to happen at its own time. But I get overwhelmed.
You're such in a hurry. Okay. Last thing before I say fun facts of the week. Today I was cooking breakfast and you were eating before the plate hit the table. Tell me how we eat these mini bagels. And I looked like as you're helping me set up the plates and you put only half of the mini bagel, like the bottom half. I'm like, wait, are you only going to eat half of the mini bagel? And you're like, no, I already ate the top half before it even touched the plate.
But I was hungry.
Yes.
That was why.
But that's a metaphor for your plating and eating. Mm-hmm. You're plating and eating.
I agree.
And doing too many things at once.
And why did I pray in the shower? What did I pray for? I said, God, give me patience and make me slower. Like literally make me just be slow.
You can wait till the plate gets placed at the table to eat.
I want you to help me this week.
You're an example of one of those kids that eats cookie dough raw before it gets baked.
Oh, girl, always. It's so good.
Natalie's always telling me, like, these muffins are ready to get baked. You want to taste the batter? Fuck no. Like, it's raw batter. And like, I'll wait till it's out of the oven. Oh, but it'll take 30 minutes. But that's what it is. Natalie is just stuffing her face with, like, dough, that's butter, so everything that you're adding, like, the you sugar, you taste. No. You taste everything as you're building it.
I'm going to keep praying for slowness.
What? You ain't...
It's true.
The praying that takes me off is funny.
What took me off was you talking about the spiritual thing. That was crazy.
Because you mentioned it before.
That's so funny. Wow.
Just goes to show I listen to you. You're anyways.
Great listener.
Dennis's fun facts of the week brought to you by nobody. Hopefully we can get a sponsor at some point for this section. God damn. Okay. Castrated men.
Why?
Castrated men.
Pause. Why do you always have to leave us on these notes of just Dennis's facts to be not Dennis's fun facts, but Dennis's morbid facts? They're always morbid.
Okay, wait.
You always leave thinking too hard.
Wait. Castrated men do not go bald.
Wait.
Balding is caused by a hormone which castrated men don't produce. First of all, castration means removing everything. Yes.
Wait, how do you pee?
It's not circumcision. It's like everything. Like the balls.
Oh, the balls.
Yeah,
okay.
The balls. not the log. Not the stick. I'm talking about like the nuts.
The log? I've never heard you say that.
Yeah, the stick.
Wait. Okay. So castrated men do not bald because it's something that's then produced within the
testicles
balls.
Produce hormones just
that
like
make you bald.
Ovaries and all your stuff produce your shit, right? So for us, if we don't have them, there's certain hormones that we don't produce.
Okay, so tell me more.
And so the comments are funny because people
are
like,
all these men going to Turkey to get their balls chopped.
No.
That'd be what I would comment.
All right. So you know how we talked about GPS and the maps?
Yeah.
All right. So I learned that the GPS, despite being free for global use, costs about $2 million a day to run and to maintain. That the budget covers satellites, launching, upkeep of satellites, and it's all funded through American tax for the whole world. So overall, though, GPS brings in more revenue for everyone than what it costs to upkeep. So
that's great.
America sees it as beneficial.
And it helps us
yes.
all get to places.
At first, it was actually a military, what do you call it? Invention. Mm-hmm. Usually the military is very advanced and have stuff before we do. Last one for the day. Several languages, including widely spoken ones like Farsi and Tagalog and even Mandarin, do not have gendered pronouns.
Oh, I thought I was going to say are becoming extinct.
Do not so have many gender people pronouns? Pick Farsi. Yeah, like ella, él.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes it easier to learn, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, English is. Does English have gendered pronouns? I mean,
French does.
Pronouns like he, she, like ella, él. But in terms of talking about people, not.
I think what it means is like the yeah, exactly, like ah, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like ah is more feminine.
I don't think that that's what it actually means.
What does it mean then?
I think like people in general, like she does this or he does that.
Exactly.
Don't exist. Not the, not
exactly,
the.
Exactly.
El libro.
Right. So then it would make it easier.
It would make it easier. Yes.
But you know what? I think that's false because when I was learning Mandarin, there was a lot of that.
Really?
There was a lot of it.
No, but. In terms of pronouns, did he learn how to say she in Mandarin?
No. You're probably on. Yeah, you're
I think that that's what
but
it means.
But it doesn't matter because they add on with all the others.
That's what I'm saying. Like the individual words have gender.
Yeah.
Like the A or the O in Spanish at the end. But like when you're referring to someone, like she dances, it's not like she or he. It's like they dance.
Can I just tell you? Maybe there is a class around here. I think that's going to be my next hobby, actually learning Japanese. I loved going to those Chinese classes. They were so fun. Like being in a room full of
Ego ga wakarimasu ka?
Hi. Skoshi wakarimasu.
Anyway, thanks you guys for tuning in to this extra special, very difficult podcast for me. Be sure to rate this if you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple Music. And also leave us a comment down below and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube.
Sumimasen.
Thanks again.
Arigato.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Mama, don't forget there's no tone.
In anime, there is tone, so I can do that.
Don't do that.
Bye.
You get all squeaky. Arigato.